Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Nice to have you along today. Thanks for tuning into the program. We're going to have a real conversation today about living out our faith in the world of technology and social media. And Ted, that's an area that, you know, the disciples didn't have to deal with that.
No, so they did so not. Yeah, this is part of our everyday life. And it the is. Kids are getting into it younger and younger, aren't they?
Yeah, we're going to get some tips today. In fact, our guest has written The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. And, you know, me, for example, it wasn't that long ago, I didn't even have a mobile device.
So yeah, that's right.
So,
and the thing is, they don't need a guide. They figure it out on themselves. Sure. We're offering them some guidance.
Guidance, yes. You know, and we all need that. And so this will be good conversation for parents and, you know, just really anyone. These are good insights that we can all pay attention to in terms of how we use technology. And by the way, technology is a wonderful thing, and we've got a free ebook that's available. We're giving away this month, thanks to our friends at Truth for Life with Alistair Begg. Alistair and Bible teacher Sinclair Ferguson have co-written a wonderful new book called Name Above All Names. And there's also a corresponding study guide that goes with it. And it's just an opportunity for you to contemplate the full majesty of our Lord and explore the depths of Christ's identity, come to know him more intimately. And you can get a copy of it. A free ebook is available when you sign up online.
At myfaithradio.com. Really great for a small group. Maybe you're looking for some new material. Probably in the new year. You can save it till then. But print it off now at myfaithradio.com.
Yeah, so it's an opportunity. Free resource. Just a way of saying thanks for checking us out here on myfaithradio.com. If you're listening online or maybe on the app, glad to have you tuned in wherever you might be. Or listening to any of our radio stations around the Upper Midwest or Hartford, thanks for tuning in. Let me get to introduce our guest today, and we'll jump in. Jonathan McKee is author of over 20 books, including the new book we're going to reference today, The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. But he's also written 52 Ways to Connect with Your Smartphone-Obsessed Kid, More Than Just the Talk, Sex Matters, and The Guy's Guide to God, Girls, and the Phone in Your Pocket. You can get an idea that Jonathan talks about these issues a lot. In fact, he's been in youth ministry for 20-plus years. Speaks to parents and leaders worldwide, and he's got a great website called thesourceforparents.com where you can check out his blog. But Jonathan, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, glad to be here as always.
Well, we're talking social media, mobile devices, and these are 21 tips. We'll try and get through as many of that we can. I'm just curious,
yeah.
have you tested all these out? And I'm wondering, I mean, you have three kids. Do they do they follow all the tips and recommendations, or do they say, well, Dad, you just go ahead and do your writing and speaking thing, but here's how we're going to operate?
Well, my kids are now adults, which okay. I think makes me old, but they're 20, 22, and 24, and as a matter of fact, my 20-year-old's in Europe semester right now in Copenhagen, I think. She was in Berlin 2 days ago. Now she's in Copenhagen. She's doing 17 countries this semester with 30 other students and 4 faculty at her Christian college. So interesting stuff. So we've actually been using a lot of social media because it takes about 3 weeks to send a letter, but it takes about 3 seconds to send a text. So, that's been fun.
That's amazing.
But no, we actually test drove a bunch of these principles. I always like to test drive my books before they actually go to print. And I sent out to a little over 30 youth pastors, parents, some of my readers and fans, and I said, do you want to test drive this thing? You want to try it? So we had over 100 kids actually read through the books, read through the questions, and I said, give me your feedback. So, I mean, they literally, I don't know, what's this question? What, you know, so it was neat making some of these tweaks beforehand, hearing some of the questions they had, or, well, what about this? Like, you know, on the Snapchat chapter, something like, well, I didn't realize this. Well, what about this? And so it was able to be, you know, to be able to go back in and kind of make some tweaks. It was fun to try these principles out before they went to print. So,
well, I think we all like to think that we're, you know, smarter than our smartphones and our devices, but that may not always be the case, as we'll point out in our conversation today. And by the way, let me just say right up front, we do have, I think, 3 or 4 copies of the book to give away. We're thankful that the publisher provides those. And so we want to just make that available. We'll do a drawing at the top of the hour. You want to sign up for this. You know it's going to be useful and helpful advice for you and your your kids or your young adults, 877-933-2484 is our phone number. You can call and give us your contact information. We'll put you in for the drawing, 877-93-FAITH. You know, it's interesting that when we think about social media, you address early on the book that it's social media actually may be making us less social. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that people are studying right now, because this is something that's kind of really only been hitting our world in the last 10 years when it comes to us carrying it around in our pockets. I mean, we're in 2017. It was just 2007 that a guy stood up on a stage. His name was Jobs, and he stood up on a stage. It was a warm stage where he was received well, and he held up an invention that was the first iPhone in his hands, and he said, "I've got an invention that's going to change the world." And his words were almost prophetic, if you think about it. It's only been 10 years. By 2012, America crossed the 50% mark for having smartphones in their pockets. Now, you know, as we sit right here, about three-quarters of 12 through 17-year-olds alone have them in their pockets. Millennials, the numbers even go up higher than that. So now, basically, instead of just texting, which young people have done a lot, and calling, which they barely did at all, you know, they carry around their entire entertainment media library, the ability to chat with anybody, anytime, anywhere. They can watch Netflix, you know, stream whatever they want, watch YouTube, all this on this little powerful device they carry around with them everywhere. So it's changing everything. I mean, it's changing, like selfies really are something of the last 5 years. If I would have said the word selfie 5 years ago, most of our listeners would have said, huh? Because it really wasn't mainstream, because people didn't walk around with a device where they could take pictures and then post it right there. You know, Instagram, Snapchat, all this stuff was not, you know, I mean, this stuff was just starting in the last 5 years. So it's kind of changed the way people communicate. It's changed young people's self-esteem. And is it crazy that in the last 5 years we've seen a spike in anxiety, a spike in depression, teen suicides at a 40-year high? A lot of people now, where they used to, I mean, it always was tough at school. It was always tough fitting in. But now they carry around a device with them where they have to measure up, get likes, get followers. And it's actually changing the way they communicate. And yeah, some of the research I share in the book is kind of scary, because as young people are, you know, looking more to typing in words, they're getting worse and worse at, you know, actually having face-to-face conversations. It's pretty scary stuff.
Well, and I think that's one of the challenges, too, as parents, and I will get into that, too. How do we, I mean, kids have to be reminded, you know, that we need to make the connections with the relationships that are most important. And, of course, that's one of the challenges with social media, is that it's all about likes. And, you know, these are kind of fake, a lot of fake friends here, aren't there?
Well, and that's why I actually start, you know, my first tip in the book is love the one you're with. And it's basically that principle that I've shared at school assemblies for years now. It's like, hey, this is a great device for connecting with people outside the room, when it doesn't interfere with our relationship with the people inside the room. And so, you know, and my approach in this book isn't one of, hey, do this, do that, you know, this device is bad. It's really the same approach I've used with school assemblies forever, which is trying to give young people information. And Common Sense Media even did a survey recently where they asked parents and young people, okay, how many of you guys think that this device is becoming a distraction? It's becoming too much. It's, you know, that people might even be addicted to this device. Well, 66% of parents said, oh, yeah, I think, and it's funny, parents were like, I think young people are addicted to this device. Of course, you know, not us parents, you know. But this is where it was a little surprising. Over 50% of young people said, I think it's almost becoming too much. So there's kind of this perception. And when I'm speaking to young people, I see it. When I say, hey, guys, you know, isn't it frustrating when you're trying to talk with your friend and they're staring at their device the entire time, you know? And young people are like, yeah. And they're pointing to their friend, you know, next to them. They're like, that's you, you know? It's not me, it's you. It's something that we feel. There's frustration all over the place, because right now, you know, within marriages, people spend more time, you know, on screens than they do with their significant other, you know. And sadly, I mean, your typical American home, you walk into a house at 7 at night, you got parents sitting there staring at a big screen on the wall. You got the teenager upstairs in their room staring at a small screen. You got a toddler flipping colors and shapes across a screen that they're looking at, and the dog's on the treadmill because no one will walk him. You know, I mean, this is the world we're living in. So it's something that addressing young people directly, and this is the first book to do that. There's lots of books on social media to parents, but I challenge you, jump on Amazon. Look, this is so far the only book talking to young people about being careful who they friend, thinking about the people that are in the room versus those that they're connecting with outside the room. And that's my advice, is talking to them and saying, hey, let's think before we post. Let's think about how this thing is affecting us, because we need to be smarter than our smartphone.
Thinking that, as I was looking through it, the Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices, that, you know, really, you know, 21 tips, but maybe the, you know, number one, even if we just hit pause, you know, that one tip could eliminate maybe a lot of the risks that come with social media.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, I mean, as a matter of fact, I was just interviewed by a police detective who deals with this stuff all the time. And he says, if you could nail, you know, what's the one thing you want people to get out of this book? I'm like, wow, to narrow it down to that. But really, it's kind of that think before you post, because that has some ramifications of so much of what we do. The pictures people are posting and passing around, the offhand comments they're making and comment sections, to the, so that time where sometimes they hit send. And the research is there, and I share it in the book. Over half of young people admit that they regret what they post at least once a week. I mean, that's a lot. And so for us to just simply say, hey, you know what, maybe go to sleep and sleep on it before you hit that post button, you know, and think about this stuff. And that's a lot of what I've got them doing is kind of gathering information, knowing the whole picture, realizing that certain pictures aren't going to disappear, that they're going to be forever, and having and thinking before you post.
We'll talk more about it with Jonathan McKee, The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. But, you know, no matter what your age, we're all going to benefit from these wise insights and a lot of research that's gone into this great little book. We've got some copies to give away, and you can sign up for one at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. I mean, we all need help when it comes to managing social media and technology. So we'll talk more with Jonathan McKee, author of some 20 books, and he's got 20-plus years in youth ministry, speaks to parents and leaders worldwide. You can find out more on his website, thesourceforparents.com, thesourceforparents.com. And we'll talk more about some of those important tips on wise posting. In fact, we're going to get to something that we all do kind of without thinking, is we just click agree on all the requirements when we get new technology. We'll talk about why that may not be the best idea. Stand by. A lot of us do speaking via technology these days through our smart devices. We've got the 21 tips to wise posting in an insecure world. That's the subtitle to Jonathan McKee's new book, The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. Jonathan's best-selling author. He's got 20-some books and speaks to parents and leaders worldwide. And he's got a long history in youth ministry, and this is sort of right up his alley. Done a lot of research and writing on issues of smartphones and devices and how we can be wise with them. Jonathan, one of the things you address is that one of the tips is that we should be a little more careful about who we're allowing to sort of see our work, because we're not privacy is something that's almost a myth, I think, on the smart devices.
Yeah, you know, privacy settings is, you know, it's one of those things that's, you know, very, you know, difficult to talk with young people about, because it's one of those logistical things. And, you know, if I had a school assembly say, let's talk privacy settings, you know, kids will be like, so I try to use kind of a anecdotal approach. Lots of stories, and instead of just talking about safeguards and privacy settings, I'll tell them a story about, like, the creepy guy I tell them about in chapter 2, who used location information in young girls' pics that they posted, and he used that to break into their houses and steal their underwear. Literally, he would steal their underwear, sometimes 3 feet from where they're sleeping right there. The cops called this guy the underwear guy, and creepy dudes like this, it's funny, when I share a story like that, I will see girls in the school assembly pulling out their phones and starting to scroll through and being like, okay, wait a sec, did I post my location here? Because I don't want some creepy dude looking through my underwear drawer. You know, so sometimes just tell them these real life stories of stuff that makes you all of a sudden think about, hey, wait a second, you know, when I post that Instagram photo, and these are the conversations that we as parents need to learn to have with our kids. Even if we don't know, and trust me, I got parents right now saying, Jonathan, I don't know this stuff. They know it more than me. You know, if you want to set these privacy settings and you're like trying to do it, your kid will come up and be like, here, let me show you. Okay, here's what you do. You enter your password first, which, by the way, Mom, is your birthday. I know. Okay, here. And now enter, you know, and so a lot of us kind of feel like, you know, my kids know this more than me. But what we've got to learn is we've got to learn these words. When our kids come up to us and ask, hey, you know, can I have, and they name some app, can I have Snapchat? Can I have Musical.ly? Can I have Instagram? We need to learn these words, which is, I don't know, let's check it out together. And then what they can do is they can Google, you know, is Instagram safe? You know, Instagram parental concerns, Instagram safety. And then together, you can sit with your kid and you can read about how, like, on Instagram, it's a lot about posting pics. And some of the good concerns would be, one, are you posting your location? You know, so people know now where you live or where you, you know, some of these places you frequent so they could maybe be there. Also, who can see these pictures, you know? And if you go through this with your kids together, or if you just say, hey, let's read the Snapchat chapter together, you know, Jonathan's chapter 10 in this book, and let's talk about this, and then let's make these decisions together. It's okay to not have all the answers as a parent, but to be able to point them to a place where they can get information and help take them through it. Our whole goal would be that, you know, when they're 18 and they're in a college dorm or an army barracks, you know, somewhere, that we've equipped them and they've been like, okay, I've done this with my parents, you know, a dozen times now. They didn't just hear yes or no. They heard, let's check this out together. And they kind of learned, here's some of the things we need to think about, who we're connecting with, what we're posting. And that's really one of the purposes of this book is to get young people to start thinking through some of this stuff. And the reason I threw discussion questions at the end of every chapter is so that mom or dad could say, hey, you know, read this, and then let's go out to breakfast this week and let's discuss this. Let's talk about this, because it's important to think about who is actually looking at us and knowing where we are at any given moment.
Well, and not to just be the you know, the warning parent, but the reality is that there are, you can call them creepers and catfish out there, you know, trolling around social media.
Yeah.
And I mean, we do need to be aware that this is not a secure environment always.
No, no. I mean, and you know, think about this. You got a 17-year-old daughter who's out at Starbucks late at night studying, and she takes a nice picture of her Starbucks cup that she just doodled on. She posts it up there, and it's like, late night study session, about ready to call it quits, you know, whatever. And she posts it, doesn't even think about it. You know, this all of a sudden brings up the ramifications of, well, when she set up that, you know, that Instagram account, for example, did she meet every single person face-to-face who is her friend, who is now going to see that post? Or is that 18-year-old guy that she met from another school, is he really an 18-year-old guy, or is he a 44-year-old naked pedophile sitting in his basement looking at that picture right now, who now knows she's about ready to walk through that parking lot alone to her car? So these are the kind of conversations that we need to have with our kids, because they have some pretty serious ramifications. And that's why in the book I shared story after story after story of these kinds of things. Rather than saying, here's what you should do, teenagers, I just shared a story of like, hey, do you guys think you know, location information is important? Do you think that Snapchat's new Snap Maps, do you think it would be good to know every single person who knows where we are at any given moment? Here's a story. Boom. And I tell a story. Something to think about, you know, and it gives them the information so they can actually start making these choices. Because guess what? Someday they're going to be doing this on their own.
You mentioned Snapchat. In that chapter, you have something called ephemeral anonymity, which is an interesting phrase. What does that mean? And talk about Snapchat.
Exactly. It sounds like a body part. I'm not really even sure. My ephemeral artery? Is that what? I'm not even sure. It's my artery that disappears. Yeah. Ephemeral just means disappearing. And Snapchat's been one of those interesting ones. And it's probably the – I mean, between Snap and Insta, I mean, these are the ones that are probably the most popular apps for young people across the board. And granted, that, you know, your kid might be totally into something different, you know, but these are the mainstream ones that most young people want. And it's good for us to understand a few things. And the thing I want young people to understand is a little bit of Snapchat's history, because even though a lot of young people want to use it innocently, Snapchat's always kind of portrayed themselves as an app that, you know, where the pictures disappear. And it's kind of been like, hey, don't worry about what you post because it's going to disappear. So, you know, don't worry about, you know, responsibility, accountability. Who cares? It's going to disappear. And that's why I give the history of these kind of perv college guys who actually, you know, created the app, because that's why they created it, because they wanted something like, wouldn't it be cool if we didn't have to worry about this stuff because it would disappear? Well, 2014, the Federal Trade Commission actually slapped Snapchat, you know, gave him a hand slap and said, you guys are misrepresenting yourself. I mean, literally, they called it deceiving their users, because there's not a miracle app that allows you to post whatever you want without consequences. And what was happening is young people were consistently posting pictures, and those pictures were being screenshotted. They were being grabbed through literally software programs that you could get off from the Apple store, where you could grab the pictures out of the cache in your phone. And people were using these devices to grab these pictures that quote unquote disappeared. And every time the girl who sent that pic out that she thought she was just sending to her boyfriend would end up saying, wait, I thought that disappeared. I mean, if you had a dime for every time we heard that, you know, and whenever I speak on school campuses, it's so sad. You know, the principal will tell me, oh, Monday, I was out doing triage, trying to solve a problem because there was a picture that was across the entire campus that was originally boy asked girl to send a sexy pic, girl kind of refused, but finally she gave in, sent this pic, he screenshots it, they break up a month later, he sends the pic to everybody saying, look at this tramp, and you know, and all of a sudden the whole school's got it, girl's devastated. This happens all the time. And every time this poor young girl's like, I thought it disappeared, you know? And so this is one of those things that, again, talking with young people about this, talking about the ephemeral nature of pics, the you know, disappearing nature of these pics, nothing you post on the internet is temporary. And we need young people to understand that. We need to drill that in. And so that's why I share, you know, in school assemblies, and I share in this book, you know, never post anything you wouldn't want your mom, your dad, your grandma, your future boss, Jesus seeing, because, you know, nothing you post is temporary.
Yeah. I mean, bosses, I know, I mean, they do searching when they're looking at prospective candidates. We got just 30 seconds left, but that's a key area they're looking now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I hear that from bosses. I was actually sharing at a parent workshop, and a guy came up to me. He goes, every time I hire someone, first thing I do is I go to their Facebook page and their Insta page. And he goes, you wouldn't believe what idiots people are. They post the craziest stuff on there. And he goes, and I just decide, he goes, all the time. And he goes, probably 75% of the people I don't hire because what I see on their social media.
All right. We're going to talk more with Jonathan McKee about this so important area. It's, you know, it's 10 years. It feels new, but it's, you know, there are already some challenges there with it. So Jonathan's put together some great tips. And they're simply tips, just giving great stories and information, and you can decide how to respond. It's The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices, 21 Tips to Wise Posting in an Insecure World. We'll talk more about the insecure world in which we live with Jonathan McKee, bestselling author, and you can find out more about his writings and resources on his website, thesourceforparents.com, the number four, sourceforparents.com. And you can join in the conversation as well and get a copy of the book. We've got four to give away. Call 877-933-2484 to get your name in the drawing. 877-93-FAITH. That message just becomes even more countercultural today in the world of selfies, that we would actually look to Jesus. We're talking about guides to wise posting in an insecure world. 21 tips from Jonathan McKee. His new book is called The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. It's available on Amazon. You can also go to his website, thesourceforparents.com, the number four, source, thesourceforparents.com. Jonathan's a 20-plus year veteran of youth ministry and speaks to parents and leaders worldwide, and has written some 20 books, including The Teen's Guide to Social Media. And Jonathan, let's maybe say a bit about, you know, it's about selfies. Now, pictures are so much a part of this, even posting pictures. What is it about our kind of culture that just it's all about us and our pictures.
Yeah, you know, and some of it's very innocent. You know, it's like when you see people posting stuff, it's not always because they've got self-esteem issues. It's not always, look at me, look at me. You know, like when young people communicate through Snapchat, you know, 5-8 years ago, they were using texting. And now instead of texting to each other, they can actually, you know, include a picture with it. So it's kind of sometimes even just like, hey, look at this delicious burger I'm eating, or hey, look at my cat Mittens actually wearing mittens. Isn't that hilarious? You know, and it's fun because you could send pictures with the message. And so a lot of people use it innocently, and sometimes they'll even, you know, just send a picture of their face with the expression on their face like, way too much homework. And that's kind of a casual, authentic way that young people communicate. When it comes to the Instagrams or the places where you're posting a pic for all to see, not just a pic just to quickly communicate, look at the burger I'm eating, those tend to be a little more posed. And, you know, we've got young people averaging, you know, several posts a day. You know, they average 7 minutes fixing their post and customizing their post and perfecting their post and adding up to thousands of posts. I mean, you'd be amazed when you look at the numbers, and I include them in the book, of how much we're actually posting right now. That's where sometimes also the self-esteem issues, it starts affecting us, because a lot of young people, it's like, you know, you jump on Instagram and first of all, you notice everybody seems to be having a good time. Everybody's showing that, you know, what all that stuff they're doing. And wow, my friend here's in Disneyland. My friend here got a new puppy. My friend. And sometimes the immediate thought is, I don't get to do any of this cool stuff. And the other thing that happens too is, look how many likes they got. Look how many followers they have. And we see these celebrities and people that got famous for what they became and what they did on social media, and some things that were very scary things that they did. And young people are thinking, I could be that. You know, anybody now can be, you know, a celeb by just, you know, being crazy enough, you know, doing whatever, you know, whatever it takes. So this has kind of changed the way young people feel about themselves. And so many people trying, and if they aren't making their expectations, they're feeling bad about themselves, which is why that's a huge reason why we're seeing counselors constantly, any article you read, which there's tons of them right now because of this huge rise in depression and a 40-year high in suicide right now, they're pointing to social media. Some of them are pointing to Instagram specifically, and that's not to say that Instagram's bad, but if parents aren't having these conversations about this is something that's huge. So, I mean, there's the safety thing that we talked about, and we talked about who you friending and this kind of stuff. But a lot of, you know, and it's funny, the world's advice often will differ from, you know, kind of the word's advice. And that's one thing about my book that will be a little different. The world will say, for example, when it comes to safety, be careful what you allow someone to film you doing. And that's not my advice. My advice is be careful the way you live, you know. And once you live your life in a way that people can't accuse you of anything. And it's not even my advice. It's from 1 Peter 2:15. It's basically saying, be careful how you live. Imagine if our lives, you know, as if everything was being filmed. And I think those are some of the things when it comes to the safety today. And then letting people know that, you know, you are way better than the likes you receive on a device. These are the conversations we need to have. And this is what I talk about in the book. I'm letting young people know this directly, and I'm encouraging them with this. But, you know, throwing the discussion questions at the end of the chapter, these are the discussions that parents can have with their kids so they can be affirming them in this and learning this with them, so they not only know what their kids are doing in their devices, but they can start encouraging them in these good choices.
We do, as parents, we don't want to be nagging, but we do need to kind of set up some boundaries. How do we help, you know, have the conversations? And maybe more importantly, what about, are there ages and kind of ways that we can set up a framework for even letting our kids have screens?
Yeah, you know, you brought it up. You said boundaries, and we're talking a lot about parents having these conversations, so that's bonding. I mean, and those are two of the most vital elements in parenting, bonding and boundaries. That's really what it comes down to, bonding, hanging out with our kids and having French fries with our kids and wrestling with our kids and talking with our kids. But then boundaries is maybe saying, no, you're not going to have this device in your bedroom, or no, you're 11, you don't get this device yet. And both bonding and boundaries are just vitally important. But when it comes to boundaries, it's one of those things where every expert out there, secular experts, the American Academy of Pediatrics is saying, stop giving your kids these devices. Stop letting your kids take their devices into their bedrooms with them. You know, and they're saying that, you know, especially as their kids are younger, be strict with this. So if your 11-year-old comes up and says, hey, you know, I want Snapchat, I want a device. Well, that's actually an easier one because there is an age that you have to be on Snapchat, to be on Instagram, to be on Facebook. It's, again, that FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has what's called COPPA, that's C-O-P-P-A, the Child's Online Privacy Protection Act. And that actually declares to Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, that people cannot be on these, you know, social media apps unless they're 13 years old. And so if a kid gets on and is 11 years old, they'll say, I'm sorry, you're not old enough. And so that 11-year-old usually will just lie about their age and say, oh, I'm sorry, I mistyped my birth year. I actually am 13 because here's my, you know, the year I was born, you know, and they'll switch that. But you aren't supposed to be on social media unless you're 13. So for parents that are in their kids' lives, when their, you know, 12-year-old comes up and says, can I be on Snapchat? I'm sorry. It's against the law. Let me show you here. The Federal Trade Commission says this. But, you know, as our kids get older, we as parents need to start having those conversations. We need to start being there. So when our kid comes up and says, can I have Instagram? Well, you no longer can pull the, you're not 13. So now it's like, I don't know. Let's check it out together. And that's where you begin to work through stuff. And Doug Fields, who's a national speaker and an author of like 50 books, when he read this, he said, okay. He goes, this book right here, this is going to be our new phone contract for kids now. You know, this is – so a book like this is a good one for when a kid says, hey, you know, can I have that device? Take them through a book like this, The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. And this is the kind of thing where you can discuss with them and say, okay, when you finish this book, we're going to get you a device because it's going to get them to start thinking about this stuff. And it gives you that bonding time as you're talking with them, but also provide some of these boundaries, some of these self-imposed boundaries that hopefully kids will put on themselves to say, hey, I want to be careful with this. I want to start making these good decisions.
Say a word about tip number 12, frequent tech-free zones. You actually had an opportunity to do that maybe unwittingly, but tell the story about tech-free zones.
Yeah. You know, it's something that it's kind of a brave thing for me to try to address teenagers and say, hey, you know, try putting down your phone every once in a while. So I try to do it on the sly. I give some research, and I actually shared that research about the surveys of teenagers. Now over 50% of them actually said, you know, maybe this is becoming too much. And I talked about how they could, you know, be free from this and sharing the research about how it's starting to hinder communication and how having a time where you actually put your phone away when your best friend, you know, comes over or when you're having that family meal together to have that no tech at the table. All research points that kind of face-to-face conversation is making us more empathetic of each other, making us care more. And one thing about this young generation is they do care. They want to make an impact. They want to make a difference. Every celeb they've ever followed, there's so many different things we don't like about this celeb, but it's funny. We've grown up in a day and age where every celeb has some, you know, some cause that they stand for. So our kids have kind of grown up not only at school having to do certain volunteer hours and stuff, but they've grown up kind of causal and kind of wanting to make a difference. And this is an opportunity where you could tell kids, hey, you know what? You can care about those around you. And by announcing at your table, hey, Dad, let's put the phone away. No tech at the table. It kind of gives them a platform where they're going to say, hey, no, this is something I believe in. And it gets them to start thinking about no tech zones.
You know, there's the challenge, of course, is that criticism and bullying has taken on a whole new, you know, this field has become much more sophisticated, it seems like, now because bullying's going on 24/7.
You know, it is. And it's funny because usually if you say the word bullying, especially in, you know, past years, you think of the, you know, big kid, you know, punching the small kid and stealing his lunch money. You think of that, you know, the proverbial bully. Where a lot of bullying today is kind of more these, you know, snide comments in the comment section, this easy just tearing people down and gossiping that kind of, you know, not the big kid stealing the lunch money, but that every kid has the ability to do at any time. And you go to any YouTube video, you will see right there comments at the bottom of like, you know, you suck. And you know, I don't want, you know, your voice sounds terrible and stuff. And it's amazing how, and I'm trying to use PG language here, but, you know, compared to what the language really is in the comment section, but, you know, it's not hard to find mean people, in comment sections. And, so, I mean, I spent some time talking about that because, our words really do have, you know, a huge effect. And I told some of the stories. I told the true stories of, like, Star Wars Kid. That's a video that went viral years back, and most young people remember that. And the true story behind it about how that kid, you know, devastated, changed schools, wanted to end his life. I mean, because people were just so mean about this video that was posted, a video that he didn't even know was being shot, by the way. So, you know, talking to young people and giving them a cause, giving them the truth that, you know, you can make a difference. You could even save a life by how you talk with others and talking with them about that and helping them. Again, this is still that same, we're back to that same soundbite. Think before you post. Think before you hit that send button. And we're getting young people to do that.
Just got about 90 seconds left. I don't know if we want to talk about maybe sleep. That might be just, you know, or if there's a final word that you want to encourage us with, because they're really great tips and all of us could benefit by just evaluating our media use in general.
Yeah, you know, it's like the book talks about so many of these biggies about who you're friending and you know, and your locations and a lot of that safety stuff and the pics we're posting and you know, trying to get a job someday based on what we've posted. And so a lot of stuff to think about. But it is funny how little concepts, like I spend a chapter talking about sleep and I show the stats about when you have your phone in your room, because, you know, it's one thing in my parenting books. I tell parents, hey, you know what? American Academy of Pediatrics forever has been saying, don't let your kids have their device in their room. But now here I am talking to young people directly and saying, hey, here's the numbers on how much people sleep, you know, get how much sleep young people get if they have their phone in a room compared to if they don't. And they know it. They know it keeps them up at night. So challenge them and saying, hey, what if you were to get a docking station and keep it downstairs, keep it in another room, and encourage them. And of course, if a parent is going through this with them, then the parent can enforce that if they want. But trying to get young people to see this, because this is something that affects adults. We have our phone vibrating in our, you know, our head at night. So that's the whole book, getting them to think about this, make wise decisions. With teenagers, we need to give them this information and prepare them, because someday they're going to be out making these decisions by themselves. And the question we have to ask as mom and dad is, are we preparing them for that day?
And I like that the book has a lot of those what if. You're not heavy-handed. It's just here's some of the facts. Make good decisions. There are 21 tips to wise posting in an insecure world. That's the subtitle of Jonathan McKee's latest book, The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. Jonathan writes regularly at thesourceforparents.com. A lot of resources there, thesourceforparents.com. Jonathan's author of over 20 books, speaks nationally, and joining us today on Connecting Faith. Jonathan, thanks so much for coming by today. Good to talk with you again.
So good to be here. Thanks for having me.
We've got some copies of the book to give away. We'll sign up for that. You can sign up with a phone call at 877-933-2484. Talking to Teen's Guide to Social Media with Jonathan McKee. We got some copies to give away at 877-93-FAITH. Also talked about screens with Josh and Christy Straub. They're authors and speakers and family advocates, and developed a DVD curriculum a while back called The Screen Balanced Family, Six Secrets to a More Connected Family in the 21st Century. Thought we'd share a little bit of that for today's program.
And when we talk about screens, we mean, when we say the word screen, we mean anything from, you know, texting to video games to watching television, you name it. It's a screen. When I say screen time, it encompasses all those things. And so one of the things that I think it's important to be aware of is, well, first of all, let me state this. The chief executive officer or the chief technology officer of eBay, as well as executives at Google, Apple, HP, and Yahoo, all send their kids to a 9-classroom school in the Silicon Valley. It's called Waldorf Schooling, where technology is completely omitted. Bill Gates only allowed his daughters on the internet 45 minutes a day, and they weren't allowed to have a cell phone until they turned 13. And even when they did turn 13, they were only allowed to use it as a phone. Steve Jobs didn't even allow his kids to use an iPad. So if the people creating these devices are protecting their children, The question I ask is, what do they know about it that we don't as parents? And I believe it has to do with creativity and imagination. Research says over and over and over again that the more that we are involved in the screen, you think about what screens do, they're created to amuse. Well, when you put the letter A in front of a word, it negates its very definition. So the word muse means to think deeply, to meditate. The word amuse means to not think deeply, but to be entertained. And when we're constantly, and we allow our kids to constantly be turning to screens, what happens is we're entertained, what I believe is into a creative impotence. And so when I talk about our generation and what's happening to this generation emotionally and spiritually, it impacts their creativity. And so when I say screen time, just listen to this for 1 second. I think this is why it's important to put on breaks, and I definitely want to get to that, like beginning to what breaks to set. And I think as we talk about what breaks to set, I'm talking about different age brackets. And so children under the age of five get 4.5 hours of screen time a day. Now that's screen time a day, 4.5 hours. That is 40% of their waking hours. Children between the ages of 8 and 18 are getting anywhere between 8 and 11 hours a day of screen time, depending on which survey you look at, 8 to 11 hours. College students are at almost 18 hours a day. Now, some people say, well, how in the world is that possible? It's because of double screening. So if you're texting while you're watching television, or you're on two screens at one time, or maybe even three screens at one time, that's compounded screen time. So that's why it's so high. When you think about how much time our kids are sitting on the screens, it's so easy, even if you're a parent, to see how quickly that time has passed. And so one of the ways that we have done this in our home is we have first set it within our marriage. So some of the breaks that we put on begin within our marriage. And I think it's important to talk about what breaks do we set as it relates to different age brackets, but it begins with us as parents first. So the first thing that we have is what's called an ENUP, an electronic nuptial agreement, in our marriage.
And that has been huge for us, because we came up with this because we realized how much the phone was coming in between the two of us. You know, we joke, but, I mean, it wasn't just us. It was our friends. It was – everyone was complaining. You know, my husband's on the phone. Like, we go to bed, and he's you know, looking at ESPN scores, or he's, you know, catching up on work emails. And the wife scrolling Pinterest or Instagram and, you know, watching Instagram stories. And it's just dividing us. Yes, we're in proximity, just like you were talking about, Neil. I mean, when we're in the van with our kids, I mean, sure, we're in proximity, but are we actually communicating? Are we actually connecting? No. And it was happening the same in our marriage. It was often the first thing we'd go to in the morning, before even talking to one another, before even spending time with the Lord. I mean, it was last thing we would do before bed. And so we came up with an ENUP, and that's what that was our word for it. But we actually wrote it out, and so it was an agreement we came to. So we agreed to 1 24-hour fast from technology a week, and that was just a time for us. A lot of what we do is online and social media as well. So we just needed a way to put – just to stop, just to push pause, to get back to real life, to being outside, to playing games, stuff that did not happen on a screen. And so we go from Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown, and we just turn off all our technology. We will watch movies together as a family sometimes, but we also chose to do no screen time during meals. So that was a great one for us. That's become a pretty hard and fast rule, just so we talk around the dinner table or the breakfast table before everyone goes to school and work. And then we also do no screens during the four key times of the day. When Moses talks about in Deuteronomy 6, where he talks about, you know, as you walk along the way, when you rise, when you go to bed, and as you eat your meals. So we try to keep our phones off during those times. So that was part of our ENUP. And that can look different for every couple, but it's something that actually it's available on our website, drjoshandchristy.com. You can just download that for free, and just tailor it to you. You and your husband, you and your wife, that something that works for your family. It does not need to look like what ours does, but something that you've come to agreement on. And really what it did, I think, for us would you say, Josh? Like, it just cut down on the arguments about it because it was something we'd already agreed to. So if you kind of get caught, you know, you're like, whatever, you have your phone beside you at dinner time and you start texting or something, there's something that'd be like, hey, I mean, you've already agreed to it. I've already agreed to it. And there's less defensiveness and argument. So that's one thing that we put brakes on for us that has really set the stage, I think, then for our family and then our kids to follow.
Just as you said, it just encourages us that, hey, you know, we can do this. We could actually set limits and it would be okay. And I would just think it would reduce maybe the tension level. Thinking, I know there are times where,
right,
where, you know, couples are just going, hey, put down your phone here. We're on vacation or something. And, you know, there's times to just set it aside and it's all right.
Exactly. Yes.
And we discover this as it relates to even not just couples with kids, but even similar to yourself, you know, during the empty nest years, you now have grandkids and, you know, marriages all across the board. We've experienced our, you know, couples saying we really need an ENOP.
Dr. Josh and Christy.com is the website. You can find a sample of that ENOP and other great resources as well. We're talking today about the Screen Balanced Family, Six Secrets to a More Connected Family in the 21st Century. Yeah, that's a video series, and they've also, Josh has also written Safe House. It's how emotional safety is the key to raising kids who live, love, and lead well. And are there some age-appropriate things, maybe in terms of some of the limits, the what and the how that you want to talk about before we take that break?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think one of the exact, you know, especially for kids under the age of five, we just really need to be aware, especially in the first 5 years of life, especially in those first 2 years. We recommend, the AA, the American Academy of Pediatrics, recommends zero screen time for those under the age of two. Keep in mind, this is when the brain is growing the most rapidly. And so, you know, sometimes it's often difficult to keep a screen away in those first 2 years of life. But we highly recommend, if there's any screen that's happening in those first 2 years of life, maybe a Daniel Tiger episode or something like that. But we really would recommend over those first 5 years of life, our kids, we don't give our kids an iPad when they're on their phone. If they get our phone, we let them look at pictures for about 5 minutes, and then we take the phone away. So we're really careful about what our kids are being exposed to in those first 5 years of life. And I would just really set those limits well. And then especially as our kids start to get a little bit older, they're going to want screens. And I think it's really, really important to, based upon their maturity level, similar to dating, you know, when's the appropriate age to allow your child to start dating? I think it's the same thing with screens. When you believe that they're mature and ready. And part of that is having the conversation, which I think is something we'll get to here in just a little bit in our conversation. But setting certain limits and inviting your children into what those limits are is really, really important. You know, it's being able to understand why they want to be on the screen, but then also being able to communicate with them why you want to protect them from it as well. So, again, this conversation as it relates to what it looks like, what limits to set, I think are unique to each family. But what we have to keep in mind is that we're not trying to raise kids where we're policing them all the time and overprotective. We really want to become digital mentors to our kids so that when they leave our home as teenagers, they are already able to implement limits themselves. Because the reality is this, anything you cannot fast from owns you. And I would venture to say that very few people can actually say, I can fast from my screen for 24 hours. And that's why we really recommend a Sabbath from the screen for a 24-hour period each week.
Josh and Christy Straub have put together a resource called The Screen Balanced Family, Six Secrets to a More Connected Family in the 21st Century. Some great insight there. You want to listen to that full interview, you can find that available on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. Plus, we'll also post the conversation we just had today with Jonathan McKee, who's always insightful, the teen's guide to social media and mobile devices. That interview will be posted as well, so check that out online. Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. Been a great hour, Ted. And tomorrow, we got John Ortberg.
Oh, good.
Best-selling author. Yes. His new book is called I'd Like You More If You Were More Like Me. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. And you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.